Thorns in Our Side by Michael Pakalik. It happens almost without fail that when I try to insert an old-style USB plug into a socket for it, I get it the wrong way. Moreover, when I say to myself, I am probably inserting it the wrong way once again. Therefore, this time I will reverse what I intended to do and then flip it, I invariably discover that I did have it the right way and that in trying to correct myself, I made it wrong again. But how can this be? Can the universe really be so designed that I am meant to encounter a contradiction every time I try to plug in an old-style USB? Is the contradiction so strongly woven into reality that, like the angel of death in the old tale, when you've thought you've avoided it, it has captured you nonetheless? I've often been tempted to write a column on this contradiction. In the past, I dismissed the idea because it seemed silly. But then yesterday, a friend wrote to complain out of the blue and unprompted. Every time I'm tempted to play Lotto, I recall how often, when I plug a USB cord in one of those adapters, I plug it in wrong. Maybe it's not just me. In any case, I want to say that there is a broad class of similar phenomena where the world seems designed to annoy us with contradictions. The word annoyance is itself telling. It comes from the word for hateful, odious. Something annoying presents something hateful to us and odious. If the world is designed to be annoying, then it is designed to be hated, which seems profoundly correct from a Christian point of view. Surely a good God would design a world that pricks us with small, hateful things. Hence the answer to the puzzle of why there are spiders, mosquitoes, cockroaches, gnats, and flies. We try to minimize annoyances, yet we cannot remove them. Entire institutions are dedicated to removing them. We call them resorts. Resorts can succeed in producing an annoyance-free life for a few days, perhaps, even if the USB problem perdures. But we know resorts are unreal. A wise traveler expects a resort to fail. He will take it in stride if he sees a dust bunny in a corner, or if the lobby coffee isn't hot, or the leaf blower in the morning is too loud. In war, ordinary annoyances grow in size to become almost overwhelming, as if the world rises up in protest against the war, the mud, the rats, the maggots, the stench. Mosquitoes are naturally occurring annoyances, but we bring them upon ourselves if we leave around lots of standing water, so that they become part natural, part artificial. Then there are annoyances which specifically bedevil our devices and machines. That these are a distinct class is shown by our invention of a distinct word for them, gremlins, a word which did not exist before the 1920s. Its popularity today is traceable back to its use by U.S. servicemen in World War II. We cannot escape the effects of original sin with our machines. Gremlins will inevitably get into the best designed and manufactured Jeeps, tanks, and airplanes. Likewise, it is an unalterable rule that microphones will malfunction in public events. Perfectly good projectors fail more than they work. Phone buttons fail when they are most necessary, all because of gremlins. Perhaps we should distinguish a spoiling from an annoyance. The rule that any material object that you love inordinately will be damaged the very first day that you own it is a rule of spoiling. The rule that you will need to fight feelings of regret and recrimination every day thereafter is a rule of annoyance. Annoyances seem gender-specific. Men are annoyed by such things as that it is impossible to pick up a collar stay. We lose at least one sock in every wash. The charcoal runs out only when we are confident that we have plenty. Plastic wrap inevitably splits and starts building up exponentially on a small portion of the roll. Hairs grow from the side of our ears at the rate of 2 inches per night. These are annoying things, and they are transient. The annoyances of women, in contrast, seem to spring from relationships, and they have the nature of lasting conditions. The housework and laundry are annoying not as huge tasks, like a trench which needs to be dug, but as interferences with relationships. Women constantly feel drained. Friends seem to demand emotional support they cannot provide. Nobody looks out for their health or development. It's all one way. Meanwhile, they must be driving kids all the time. Men can remove most annoyances with actions, or they put up with them, as needed, with masculine toughness. Women must grapple with emotions which rise up in response. They may even become more annoyed by their own emotions. I have not discussed toothaches, indigestion, rashes, or injuries because I am interested in annoyances that seem woven into nature, a fallen nature. Blemishes, pimples, asymmetries, lack of proportion in the body or face are the closer analogs. Our resting in the world, as sufficient in itself, seems an exterior manifestation of pride. Therefore, if God has made the world in small ways odious to us, He has done so to correct our pride. Very often a wise physician procures and permits a lesser disease to come over a person in order to cure or avoid a greater one. St. Thomas says about St. Paul's thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Nature is a parable, Newman said famously. The order of grace completes and perfects the order of nature. If nature itself contrives to prick, contradict, and humiliate us in small ways, how can a Christian not deliberately undertake the same with consistent, small, freely chosen mortifications? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. If we pray, each humbling contradiction becomes an occasion for grace.